The root cause of our housing affordability crisis is how expensive it is to build housing in Seattle. And there are two reasons it's expensive to build here. One is land prices. They've skyrocketed. And a second major reason that housing is so costly is that it's expensive to build. But what if you could cut the cost of building multifamily homes in half? That's the promise of modular housing. These are buildings constructed in factories, the electric, plumbing, counters, all built in. Then the modules are transported to the location and assembled on site. Well, the Compass Housing Alliance in Seattle has been trying to build lower cost modular housing for several years now. And their story kind of tells the promise and also the challenges of modular building to try to create more affordable housing. Join us is Janet Pope, Executive Director of the Compass Housing Alliance. They've been around for about a century working on these issues. Thanks so much for stopping in.
Thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity to talk about all our investing in this solution.
Well, explain a little bit more on why it's cheaper to build modules in a factory than to build just from scratch on site, the way we see a lot of buildings done. Why is it cheaper?
Because the costs are contained and because you can design it all in advance and get it all permitted all in advance. So that definitely speeds up the time, as well as in our case, we're designing it for the population we serve, which is folks below the area median income, 50% of that, as well as homeless individuals. So we're able to put things specifically into the design and have it all manufactured that way and ready to go.
The first time I heard about the promise of modular housing was from you, like over 2 years ago. Compass Housing Alliance was presenting and you were talking about this as being game-changing, the ability to lower the cost of construction. You were working on a modular housing village for Seattle's Columbia City neighborhood. You said it was much less expensive and you were expecting it to open in 2017. What happened?
Right. So we've been in this space for over 3 years now and just really seeing it, looking for what is a solution if we need to get to nearly 20,000 units of affordable housing based on the HALA report that the city prepared. And knowing that us combined with all the other developers, we may be building 500 units a year. So knowing that we were never going to get there, we had done some research and realized that steel modular construction is used around the world. And why isn't it done here? And so we had the land in Columbia City that we own and was slated for a permanent project down the road. And at the time, we were really thinking that this could be a temporary solution as well as a permanent solution. So this land, we tried to do the temporary pilot and really create a playbook, mm-hmm. knowing that we really needed to get the policymakers out there to see it, touch it, feel it, and demonstrate success. And one of the key facts of that is we were really looking at these units could be craned in and craned off, so thinking that they could go anywhere that land was needed. We learned a lot. One of the things we learned that the temporary solution is not really effective, mm-hmm. just because you can't keep the cost down, because all the same costs for a permanent project also go into a temporary project.
So you've kind of backed off on Columbia City, but you're taking this idea to Edmonds. Tell us what you're doing there.
Absolutely. We have a wonderful partnership with Edmonds Lutheran Church, and we are really happy that a new partner has come along in the manufacturing of Blockable, and they're manufactured in Washington State, which allows us to work with them directly and control a lot of costs in their manufacturing plant. And so the church was very gracious in allowing us to use a chunk of land next to the land that we are about to purchase, where we plan a 70-unit development, and we've put a demonstration unit out there. So mm-hmm. we are now have proven that we can do this in a third of the time and around half the cost for the full unit.
Half the cost. So it'll cost half as much for you to use this modular housing for that unit than it would have cost if you built it on site.
Absolutely. We were able to put this one unit in 3 hours, and it was built in 6 weeks.
It's such a compelling argument for the use of this modular housing, but no one in Seattle is doing it. Why not?
Well, I don't know, because I really think we need to really search for that solution between the $25 million house and the 2,500 tiny house that's temporary. Our model is very much based on wraparound services and walking holistically alongside the people we serve. So trying to put our innovation around the service model that we've developed for 100 years and the community development model that we know we need beautiful, efficient buildings. There had to be something. And so looking around the world, this is used in Australia, in Europe, in Asia, and why it's not done here is just kind of a conundrum.
You know, I hear a lot of complaints from builders about the building codes here about the processing of getting permits is extremely restrictive and difficult and takes much longer than they think it should. Does that come into play when it comes to this new kind of housing that you're talking about, modular? Is it extra difficult to get those kind of projects through in Seattle because of a regulatory morass that already exists?
Absolutely. And so that's some of the learning and the demonstration that we're trying to do here, is that not is this just a pretty box for people to live in, but we have a crisis here. So what are some of the regulatory pieces that we can expedite? And I do believe that it's us pushing on this issue that have caused people to step back and look at it a little bit. And now we have an actual unit that we've been able to take elected officials through and other policymakers through, as well as different kind of financing and funding. And it was, I'll be honest, a little bit easier working in a smaller municipality where
in Edmonds,
they are so invested in being part of the solution.
Sure.
And so how can we reduce the permitting time and whatever the utilities cut connections and those kind of things?
You mentioned you learned a lot from trying to do this in Seattle and Columbia City. If there are one or two things that you think could change in Seattle that would make these modular housing solutions more easier to do, what would they be?
There's a lot of conversations we're involved in right now about using public lands for affordable housing, and there's been some real movement there. Some of the newer members on the city council, Teresa Mosqueda, a new state law now that public lands should be given to affordable housing first. And again, a lot of those sites are not conducive to traditional built housing, but they're very conducive to modular villages. So looking that that can happen moving forward is something we're really excited about.
And of course, you've got to have land to build something. So you've got the land, but is there anything the city could be doing but isn't doing when it comes to actually putting in modular housing development there? Are there things with permitting, et cetera, that need to change in order to make it more able as a housing place to put these in?
Absolutely. So expediting the permitting, lowering the cost for the permitting when you're already a nonprofit developer, and some of those delays that happen in the permitting process just increase the cost. Every time you have to have an architect or somebody redesign something because a permit has changed, that increases the cost. Now, again, with modular, it's all approved before it ever even gets to the site. So getting folks to wrap their heads around that, and I do believe people are listening. There really aren't a lot of other solutions out there. And so I think people are starting to buy in finally.
Well, in this Edmonds project, if it goes as well as you say you expect it to go, should also be a demonstration for folks here
Absolutely.
In Seattle.
I'm totally convinced that until people come out there and see it and touch it and walk through it and see how operationally efficient it is. So it's a very green building, which means lower cost to operate, which in the Compass world means we have more money to invest in the services that we value really highly for the supports for our residents.
You've mentioned beauty a couple times. We might associate modular housing with trailers, with that kind of housing. It's not considered very attractive. Is that an issue when it comes to using modular housing? Does it look nice?
Yes. I can't tell you how many times I've said these are not containers. These are individually manufactured. And yes, they are absolutely beautiful. And so if you think of a Lego system, and the blockable manufacturing system allows you to switch out the exterior so it blends beautifully in any neighborhood. You know, we have windows, we have decks, we have, you know, beautiful finishings in there, and a lot of smart technology too. So you have the smart home technology for efficiency.
And you mentioned Blockable. That's the name of the company. When you first were talking about this 2.5 years ago, you were talking to a Chinese company. Have these companies building modular housing come up since then?
Blockable is the only one I'm aware of in the United States. Again,
really?
It's done all around the world. So we're very fortunate that they are in our own state here. And of course, when you're utilizing a foreign manufacturer, it's only going to increase the costs and the regulatory pieces as well.
Janet Pope, thanks so much for stopping by and talking to us about this. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks.
Janet is executive director of the Compass Housing Alliance. They're working on a modular housing unit that will be taking place up in Edmonds, and they've been trying to do this here in Seattle. But as you've heard, there are some barriers to getting that done. I'm Ross Reynolds in for Bill Radke. This is The Record.